Hi, I'm Stephanie, a grateful recovering alcoholic. And step 11. Sought through prayer and meditation. I can remember somebody saying prayer and medication. Yeah. To improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him. Praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Prayer. It doesn't matter who you are. I think in our drinking career, I don't know about you, but my prayer, I went to prayer with community. I'm not saying how well I prayed because I was not feeling any pain. But my prayer was always, I hope I didn't say the wrong thing to somebody. I hope I didn't mess up the car. And I hope somebody doesn't know what I did. Always that fear in my prayer. That was my prayer to God. Now I'm a nun. I should know how to pray. Early on, we had prayers. Oh, we prayed all the time, I guess. But I don't know how we prayed because everybody was sleeping. Because we worked all day, we taught all day, and then we had prayers, and everybody was dozing off. So I think God understood, though. If you don't pray, I mean, there are religions. I think that every faith has some form of a contact with something. I don't care what you are. There is a higher element out there, whatever you want to call it. And we relate to it. I can remember, I think all kids, I don't know, the only prayer that I knew as a kid was, I was taught the angel of God. I had a picture of an angel holding, the kids are crossing a stream. It's a very common picture. And that was the first prayer that I can remember learning. And then, of course, I went to a Catholic school, and you had to pray before class. And I think we all mumbled something. I don't know. But, you know, our contact with a higher power. I think as we grow in age and in wisdom, that higher power becomes something part of us, unknown. Anyway, that was a prayer that I learned. And I can remember I was in eighth grade, and I don't know what the feast day was or what it was, but this nun asked me about a prayer. And I can't remember the prayer now what it was. And she said to me, "What do you mean you don't know it?" And I didn't. And she said, "You come from a good Catholic family." I didn't say that prayer. I didn't know it. I know it now. But it doesn't matter what kind of prayer you say. Of course, the Our Father is universal. It's universal. And it's in the Bible. It's a prayer that Christ taught the apostles. And if that's the only prayer you know. My prayer for a long time was, get me out of this mess. And, you know, we did that. Then we get to a period where I guess prayer, I was thinking today, you know, we always said grace before meals. My mother would say, "Did you pray?" And then the situation at the mother house is very difficult. I don't know if anybody ever thought of doing that, but to have a, before we eat, to say grace, we say our own, if we remember. But because of the people coming and going, it kind of lost its, we do it once, probably when we have feast day and everybody's together. But I have to recall, before I eat, to thank God for what I have. But I don't always think of that. Anyway, in sobriety, we begin a relationship with somebody, with God. And if you notice the steps, all the way through, we tell God that what we did. We come to ask to believe in something greater than ourselves. Then we make a decision to kind of follow His will. And then we go through the cleansing part, asking God to forgive us. And now we're at the point where we really have a hand on this higher power. And prayers from the heart and meditation. As I said, when we were young sisters, we'd go to church, chapel, and we'd all sleep. We didn't know what meditation was. We were told to meditate, and somebody would be sleeping, somebody would be snoring, somebody would be figuring out what they had to do, and that's how we prayed. And today there's a lot written on this. And I don't think that, I think God hears any kind of prayer, any kind. We have formal prayer. We have an office. We pray the office. But the older sisters that can't see or can't, they can't do that. Then they have rosary. We'll hear them rattling that. Sometimes that's more distracting than anything. You want to tell them, just please, to be easy on it. Then we have groups that meet, and they have what they call sharing of the heart. Well, I've joined a group, and the sharing of the heart was anything but sharing the heart. I was listening to everybody's pains and aches or what happened that day. Well, I suppose that's sharing the heart. And we do that. But anyway, I guess it's giving God credit for what we have and do. I pray a lot. I talk to God a lot. But it doesn't have to be any kind of formal prayer. You know, Brenda's mother died and she called me and, you know, I just asked God to give her rest. You don't have to say a lot of prayers. Just ask God to take her and give her peace. We have a sister dying right now and sisters are sitting in with them, her and I always say, if you're sitting with me and I'm dying, please, please be quiet. Oh my God. And they say, oh my God, we have a ritual prayer for the dying. Just say it to yourself, please. Don't bother. I just hope I fall over like my mother did. She died in a funeral home visiting her friend. She did. So there were no, you know, all this going on. And prayer has to be from the heart. And meditation is when you just take time and pause and just be quiet. And they talk about mantra. Get a word and just think of that. And some people have little beads and they say it on the beads. Just a prayer, God help me, whatever. And that's called mantra prayer. When's the best time to take time? I take time in the morning, about an hour. And I have office to say. And then I have time to just sit and be quiet. Just being quiet is a prayer. I think that we were brought up with, you got to say something. And we don't have to say something. And I have a key word that a priest taught me on a retreat. It's called acts. So when you're meditating and you get distracted, and that's when you think of everything you need to do or should have done, didn't get done, it brings you back. And the word is acts. Adore God. Tell God how great He is. Tell God you're sorry for anything that day or that preceded it. And thanksgiving. Thank God every day that you're living, that you're alive. Read the papers and see these young people dying. You thank God that you're here. And then ask Him for help. Those are the four words, X. It's very easy to remember. And you can, that kind of leads you into some conversation with God. If you don't know how to meditate, you're not going to go to hell. I'm sure that we have a lot of sisters over the years that just prayed but didn't know what it was called. And that's meditation. Or go out to the beach, watch the ocean, lake. Go look at a mountain or when you travel, or the sky. Some people like to look at the clouds and see the formations. And you can't deny God. everybody has some form of something. The atheist, the agnostic, they still tend to believe something. All these religions, at one time, we weren't allowed to know anything about any of the religions. But today, we do. And like I said, I preach in Protestant church. Nuns didn't talk to me for a while, but that was okay. And it was on Martin Luther. And Martin Luther was not a bad person. Now the church is really looking at it and saying he was right. And he was. He was angry about the practices that the church had. Church is not infallible. The Pope's supposed to be, but there are mistakes, and you know that, and I know it. Have some kind of relationship with your higher power. And where do we have it most? Here. I always say, I wish people out there had what we had. I don't feel bad I'm an alcoholic. I do not feel bad about it. At first, when I first came in, and I was going to Gateway, I wondered how this all happened. And the longer I've been around, the more I am privileged. When I see behaviors at the Mother House, I think, I wish you had a program. I really wish you had a program. I was going out the door tonight, and we have one. She's very inquisitive. And she said, "You going out?" Well, if I'm going out the door, I'm going out. But I wasn't being smart now. I said, "Yeah." "Well, where are you going? Meeting?" Mm-hmm. That was the answer. But anyway, we have, or they dwell on stuff. They don't have the steps. They don't have what. We are so fortunate. Very, very fortunate. And I thank God every day that I am in this fellowship. And I don't take it lightly. When I'm working with people, it's life and death. I could have been dead. I could have killed somebody. I could have been run over. I could have a lot of things. But, and I know there's a higher power, because I don't know how many close calls I've had crossing the street or doing something, and I could have been injured, and I come out of it, nothing. There has to be a power. When I was in Washington, I remember I was reading a letter and I wasn't paying attention. And his car came and it was like this far from me. And I had other instances that I think about. And it has to be a God. And I had a very favorite aunt. And I wanted to go home on Labor Day weekend. I had hired a teacher that lived in Johnstown, just a couple blocks from me, and every time she'd go home, she'd say, "Do you want to go?" "Yeah." So I'd go. Well, this time she said, "I'm not going home at this particular time." And I really wanted to get home because I knew my aunt was really bad. And so she said, "But my parents are coming to Erie to pick apples, and you could go when they go back." So I said, "I guess that'll work." So I was a little upset about it, and then I said, "Well, there must be a reason." Well, at the end of the month, when they went, and it was the best time, because I was able to be with my aunt that whole week before she died. I wouldn't have been there. If I had gone on Labor Day weekend, I wouldn't have been back when she was dying. I would have gone when she died. So God works in our lives, and you can all give instances where what you plan, and it doesn't work out, and you get so frustrated, and you think, why is it like that? You know, why isn't the way I want it to be? Self will run riot. It's not how I want it. I have so many instances in my life that if I had planned it that way, it wouldn't have worked. It worked because I tried to let God guide me. And that's really, and you have to, you know, we're not Bible thumpers, and we're not holier than thou, but there's a spirituality. When you're at an AA meeting, I feel the presence of a higher something. there's something about us being together. It's so spiritual. And I think that's what we're all about in step 11. Having conscious contact with a higher power. And I don't care what you call it. And talk to God. Talk to Him. I do that every day. I don't always have formal prayer. I just say, "Hey God, get her off my back." It works. It does something to make it better. And this woman that drives me nuts, I'm starting to, she's been talking to me more than ever, but a lot of times she wants to know something. But I have learned through the program to be kind to her. And a lot of the sisters, one said to me the other day at lunch, she said, "God, she's nosy." I said, "You're just finding out?" And we laughed about it. She says, "She drives me nuts." I said, "Go along with her. Keep her happy. Make up something if you have to. Keep her happy." And, it's worth it. This program teaches us how to deal. Sometimes I don't deal real well, but I try. And I ask God to help me especially when I see her coming. Please. Why she picks on me, I don't know. But anyway, we have a few like that. The other day, one of them walked up to me and she said, "I hear we got a new cleaning girl." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, where is she?" I said, "Well, she's not here yet." "What's her name?" I said, "Julie." I wanted to say, "Are you happy now?" But they don't have enough to keep them busy. Where I have a lot, and there's a big difference. And I always say, if they would get out of the house or do something, they just. We had a party today for all the 90-year-olds, 90 and 95, and somebody said, "Why do they have an ad?" I said, "I don't know. They're 90, 95. They're celebrating all the people that are going to be that old." Well, I'm not going. I said, "Well, then don't go." That's all, as simple as that. Don't go. And I said, she said, "Well, I'm 91. I said, "I know, and you had a party last year. Did you forget?" But anyway, they're funny. You have to, sometimes I have to pray. When I think a situation's going to be arising or I don't want to do something, God, we had what we called chapter this year, and it was heavy duty stuff. And we had it every month. And everybody'd say, "Oh." And I'd say to myself, "Well, it'll be over. Go to the meeting and it'll be over. And then you can move on to the next meeting." And you have to be positive about stuff. And you say to God, I want this to work out. And it does. It has worked out. A mantra, I talked about a mantra, "God have mercy on me, God help me," that you could say that especially when things are kind of heavy on you, just ask God to help you, or whoever you choose to call. And that'll work. And I know I'm running. I think I hit a lot of things. But like I said, I use the word acts, and it keeps me focused when I'm trying to meditate. And this is funny, usually I go to chapel about 2:00, 3:00, and this nun comes in. Inevitably, she comes, I'm trying to meditate, and she always has something to tell me. I say, "Can't you tell them in prayer? Leave me alone." But I don't. I let her get it off her chest and go with it. God, I lost my trend of thought. Goodbye. And with that, I think I'm finished. Thank you.
Thanks, sister. Thank you, sister. Thanks an awful lot. We have questions.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, I knew you did. Yeah, I get that. It's okay. I'll come around.
Were you taking a long way around?
Yeah, well, I'm using up the time here.
Thank you, Sister. First, I'd like to a comment that I have before I have my question. My comment is, it never ceases to amaze me to see the number of priests, nuns, ministers, rabbis that I assume have a pretty good connection with a higher power that still needs AA to get sober and stay sober. I find that fascinating. Mm-hmm. My question for you, as a nun, have you ever had to deal with a sponsee that was either an atheist or an agnostic? And if so, how did you deal with that?
I have one that's a Jehovah's Witness.
Okay.
And I said to her one time, it was Christmas time, and I said I was going to get her a gift, and I don't know what I said. She said, "We don't celebrate." I was so naive. Then I found out that we had a sister. She was married to a doctor. He died. She grew up a Jehovah's Witness, and she's a Catholic nun now. And amazes me. How do you deal with that? I just, whatever. If they have any faith at all, some have a lot more faith than I do. And in some, I think we need to have a connection with something. And I don't push. If you don't go to church, fine. That's your business. I like going to church. Of course, I was dragged to church from little on. And I used to embarrass my mother because we had to wear hats in those days, caps. And I was four. I can remember I had this outfit on. And we had to pay pew rent to be in the pew. And I didn't like the pew we had. So I'd just march up and sit where I wanted to, and she'd be dragging me back. And I'd take my hat off, and one time I took it off and swung and it hit this lady. And this lady wasn't too happy with me. So, I have dealt with, as I told you, I don't know if you were here at the time, I mentioned the atheist that I had at St. Mary's. And we didn't have a schedule of what faith they were. So I had to go in cold foot. And I went in and I told her who I was, that I was one of the chaplains. And she said, "Well, I'm atheist." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "I'll stop tomorrow again when I'm on this hall." And she said, "Oh, that'd be nice." But I told the other nun, "Don't go in," because she would be converting her. So I said, "Don't go in there. Don't go in. I'll handle that." So anyway, yeah, we get all kinds. We get all kinds of people. I always tease about Dale, you know, Smiling Jack. I call him Smiling Jack. When he first came in, he had nothing to do with me. I was a nun. I think I scared the bejesus out of him. But he's since, we travel together. It doesn't matter what faith you are. I don't care. It's what you are, how you treat people. And that's our Christian, or whatever we are. I had a lot of Jewish friends, and their faith is so strong, and I love them. Christ was a Jew. I don't know why we think, you know, we're better. You know. Sam, after you?
Yes, thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
Hi, I'm Wendy. You are so funny.
I want paid.
I just loved it. I just loved laughing. I just loved it. Anyway, my question is step 11. I struggled with praying for the knowledge of His will for us. I was glad to do that because I could handle whatever He wanted to give me. But something threw me off in that step 11 when it said to pray for the power to do His will. And I for the longest time could not figure out why I needed His power, God's power. Because I felt like I had so much power of my own that I thought was from him, to pull these things off. It wasn't until a series of events happened, God's so funny, handing me things like my trailer flooded, my brand new trailer flooded, the hot water tank busted, boxes are floating around, and I walked in ankle deep water, and I could swear I heard God say to me, "Where's your power now?" You know? It was little things like that that I had to depend on his power to figure out, what am I going to do with this mess? But I was just wondering if you experienced anything that would have to do with depending on his power versus our own.
I think situations come up that I have to say, you know, I'm not in control. I have to depend on you. And I don't always like that because I'm self-sufficient. You know, I can remember one principal saying to me, "You think you can run the world?" I said, "I can, but I can't." And this program taught me that I cannot. I cannot. Well, it was like the week that we had the big flood at the mother house. The toilet blew up and water everywhere. Well, this one nun, I have seen her. I don't know what's going on with her. But she was devastated. And she said, "Look at this." I said, "Pet, you're in a dry room. You're in another section. Everything, they're taking care of it. The insurance company's been here. It's all going to be okay." Well, I had to move everything out. I said, "Well, I can't help that, but you're taken care of." You know, we think we have that power, and we don't. Well, everything turned out. You would walk through there now, and you wouldn't know a thing happened. Then she couldn't find her curlers, so I had to go to help her. And, oh, my God, the stuff she had in her room. And I'm looking, I'm looking, I'm looking, and I said to her, "Are you sure you see her friend died?" And her friend gave her the curlers before she died, and she wanted those curlers. I said, "We'll buy you some." "No, I had them. I don't know. They threw them out." I said, "No, they wouldn't have thrown them out. They know better." Well, 2 days later, we find them in the room she moved into when she had to move. But now she's kind of, she said she's still trying to get organized. And I said, "Well, you know, I have a rule of thumb, Pet. What you haven't used in a year, get rid of." "Oh, that's a good idea." I said, "I've cleaned out many people that have died. And my rule of thumb is if you don't use it in a year, you're not going to use it." So, well, I don't know if she liked that. But anyway, she got her curlers back. But how do you handle stuff? You just try to. I'm not always good at it. I always fight with God. You're allowed to fight with him, too. Because he won't get mad. He won't get mad. He's God. He can handle it. So, and some people do. Yeah. So, any others?
Sister, hi. I'm curious, in the time you've been in the program, have you noticed that there seems to be now a greater resistance to the idea of a higher power than there was when you first came in?
Yeah, scary.
And why do you think that is?
It's just the way the world is right now, I think. I'm not criticizing. There are sisters that can't go to chapel. We have closed circuit TV for them. But there are some that just, I saw one the other day, and it's not my business. She's not well, but she was dressed. It was Sunday. And I thought she was going to Mass. And she never showed up. And it's not my business that she didn't, but I thought if you're dressed and ready, heading that way, she would be going. People don't have they don't think they have the need till something really catastrophic happens. If you notice all the shootings, first thing these people say are they group and they start praying. Then they start. They see the need. It has something. God has to let something happen. And he's trying to shake us up. All those fires in California. All the floods. I always say it's the beginning of the end of the world. It isn't going to end in a big blast. It's slowly. But we have, that's what I say, we have a gift. I take it seriously. Not a game I'm playing. It's a gift. And I'm proud to be part of this group. Thank you.
Thanks. Can I just ask one more question here?
Sure.
You know, they're atheists, they're agnostics, and then there are people who come in who, because of previous religious experience, know there's a God, but absolutely don't trust he, she, its intentions. You must have run into that with your pigeons, or sponsees, or whatever you call them. And I'm wondering, how do you go about getting newcomers to trust in the beneficence of their higher power? How do you do that?
Most of the people I've ever sponsored do have a higher power, but some have thrown them away because of instances in their lives. And as they grow in the program, some of them begin to realize there is something better out there. There's a God. There's something. And then some, just nothing. You know. So, I don't know.
I'm Brenda Alcoholic. So, when you were talking about the 11-step prayer, and it really kind of hit me tonight, it's God as we understand Him.
Uh-huh.
So, my mother was not a real religious person. The only thing she remembers was dirty jokes. And, you know, that's who she was.
She's cute.
Yeah, she's very cute. She has dementia. But she had a love in her for animals and for a compassion for other people. Sometimes God is fearful for a lot of people, as it was for me, fearing God, like I'm not good enough to be, to have God's love for me. And my mom said one time that I don't have to go to church to pray. Do you believe or think that God has a connection with people who might not even talk about Him? And the reason I ask that is because my aunt asked my mom last week, are you ready to go see Jesus? And she said, no. And I think it's a fear of
damnation.
Not being good enough, and or I'm not sure I'm good enough to get in His graces. So do you believe that God talks through them in their own understanding?
Mm-hmm. He does.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that fear. What is there? What's going to happen? God is so powerful and so loving. He does not want to lose one soul. So no matter how bad or how they neglect or don't have anything to do with God, somewhere God is so merciful. And that's a hard concept because the church taught God is going to punish you. God's going to punish you. God's not punishing you. We punish ourselves. We punish ourselves. God doesn't punish us. He is happy when we come around and do the things we do today. Being kind, being caring about somebody. I see a lot of care in this program. There are nuns I wouldn't ask to do a thing. I wouldn't ask them because they wouldn't do it. I get asked a lot, but that's why, that's my, how I feel. We have to be the people we are. So, yeah, God doesn't. And I think that moment, it's so beautiful. And I don't care what kind, God is so merciful. And we're going to be surprised who we see there. It might not be me.
Anyone else? Tom?
Hi, Tom, alcoholic.
Hi, Tom.
What advice would you have for those of us who do have a higher power, but it is not, you know, a religious higher power, those of us who you know, look to the power of the rooms, the love of humanity, nature, what have you. It is not something that I could ever see myself praying to, but I do definitely see it as something that is stronger than myself. I have no problem with meditation, but the prayer is just something I cannot wrap my head around. And, you know, do you feel that, you know, that is enough?
Fine. It's fine. I saw you when you came in. You told me you didn't believe in anything, but you came. You have believed in this program, and that's your higher power. This program is powerful, and it's not taken lightly. When people take it lightly, it blows me away, because it's a God-given. And if you read that new book about responsibility, there isn't a part that Bill Wilson doesn't talk about God. In everything they did, he gave credit to a higher power.
Thank you. Thanks, sister. Anything? You have a comment?
No question.
No question? Just a comment.
Just a comment.
No,
we don't do that.
You have to ask it as a question. You can't just say
something.
Thank you very, very, very much. This was absolutely, I'm totally grateful that I was here tonight. I heard so much, and it was just unbelievable. Thank you very much. That's my comment. My question is, thank you. I love you, and thank you very much.
Sister, thank you. You almost made me cry just now. And it, you know, I've been around a little while now, and when I first came in, I didn't really believe in anybody but me. But I became willing to try. And now I realize I can't do anything without it. And that book there, I just, our great responsibility.
Oh my God.
It's a miracle book. It is, because those guys were, just give you a little what I know about it so far, Bill and Bob were, you know, it was working, but they realized they weren't going to live forever. So how in the heck are we going to keep this thing from blowing up when we aren't here? And wow, that is so powerful. I can't say it enough. Read it with a highlighter, because you'll end up probably highlighting the whole thing. But it's really, really, and that's just because I've stuck it out. So, the question is, if you have another one, go ahead. But I don't have one.
Anyone else? Thank you, sister. Thanks an awful lot.